The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. They get the of course. It's Gil Alexander. It's producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Kelly Midland to my left.
Hello, how we doing?
What's that in?
Not much.
Excited to do NFL season win totals today.
Yeah. Let's go. You got into that, didn't you?
I did because I was, I don't know if you had this experience. I knew they were trickling out.
Yeah.
And then I also was like, okay, it's too early, right? We don't have the sequencing of the schedules yet. And then I'm like, okay, I'll look at them. I'm like, I love this. Same thing?
No.
Oh, okay. You didn't love it so much?
I love the process. I love thinking ahead.
Yeah.
I think what irritates me with this stuff, because we've talked about it with a couple other markets, is they're getting stuff out so fast now.
Yeah.
That it's up for so long, and by the time you really feel like you can go and sink good money into it, it's stuff is moved and things like that. So I don't know.
Well, the caveat here is we have not bet any of these yet.
Yeah, I haven't bet any of these yet. Yeah.
This is so early that we're just glancing at it and giving first reactions. We'll do that here momentarily. Zach and Crack on a Thursday. Zach Cohen with his NBA thoughts, his college hoops thoughts, and maybe some tennis. He's the one guy that is betting tennis. I lost my one tennis. I don't know why I dipped my toe bag in yesterday. I'm never winning another. Three.
Was that your feeling right away?
Was it like how many years of sustained tennis greatness here? And then all of a sudden I'm never winning another one. Zach, though, has some thoughts. Final Four with Tim Murray as well. Tim will join us. Maybe Tim will have something to say about JVT's unprovoked attack on him yesterday.
Yeah.
Here on the show.
Yeah, we're big dorky nerds or something like
you,
that.
You and Tim.
That's right.
JVT from the top rope. And then, of course, the crack part of it. Unscripted with Crackman, Bill Krakenberger, hour number two, who the last 3-4 weeks he's been in here, he has had a list of things that he has tried to take note to himself that he wants to get into, and we never get to any of them. So I don't know. Maybe we'll get to some today. Maybe we won't. But he usually starts the show by saying, I'm angry.
That's been the past couple weeks.
And so
it
just flows from there. So we'll get into that. You did make a couple NFL draft bets.
Yeah, I went draft betting yesterday. Yep. Yeah, William Hill, Caesars, hit them both.
How much did I let you put on those?
I was able to get down okay.
At the counter?
No.
Oh,
kiosks.
Okay. Oh, kiosks.
Yeah, it was okay.
Okay.
That's where I was complaining to you about the process. Like, it's so silly when you go into...
So dumb.
Like, Caesars, your kiosks.
So dumb.
I think from a user-friendliness, like, they're great. They're awesome. They're very easy to use. But, like, you pull up an interface that looks exactly like your app looks like. And then, if you go and bet a certain amount of money, they force you to enter your rewards card. So, as soon as you do that, they know exactly who you are, just like they know who you are when you're on your app. So why can I only make a $30 bet on my app, but I can go in and bet at the kiosk?
They don't even know.
They couldn't
answer it for you.
Yeah, I don't understand. So anyways, between there and then I also hit a William Hill shop because that had some the same props up. Yeah, too. I know we were discussing that yesterday. I thought William Hill maybe moved off of Caesars, just copying what they're doing. Nah, that's still going.
I told you, it's the same thing, right?
Yeah, someone told me they moved, and it's the same thing. So I'm in on, let's see. Quarterbacks, I bet over. We talked about that a little bit,
over
but I didn't bet that. Yes, over 2.5.
How much you lay?
I'm laying -300.
Yeah.
And then I'm running backs under 2.5, laid -310 on that. And then McMillan under 18.5. I bet that one already, -190. And then I hit it again yesterday, -210.
All right. So you're just jumping on some ones you already mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson Dart, some mocking to go to the Steelers, perhaps late first round as the third quarterback. The fly in the ointment on the running back, most say, would be Trevion Henderson of Ohio State. And then we love Teddero McMillan. So good for you.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a long shot bet at Dart to go two, but like, I don't think there's any way he's falling out of the first round. I think we get three quarterbacks. I know it's not a great quarterback class. We say it all the time, Gil, right? You ain't nothing without a quarterback. Got to get a quarterback. Some of these teams, like, you got to get one. You got to try.
Can I familiarize you with the Washington franchise? They are case in point number one.
Yep. Yep.
What happens when you don't have a quarterback for a quarter of a century and then when you get one?
And I always bring it up with the Cardinals, where how quickly they were to move on from Josh Rosen, right? Like, I always respected that.
Yes.
Throw in the cards. If it's not there, like, you got to move on. You can't waste years.
Well, they must have really figured it out quick with him.
Yeah.
It must have been like, yeah, there's no getting around this.
The Rosen one, right?
What else? The chosen one.
Yeah, the Rosen one.
Right? Oh,
that's what they did, right? He threw the ball out of Rosen rope.
Okay. He'll always have that game against A&M, though. That game on at UCLA. Oh my God, was that amazing? Okay, I hope you hit the over. I hope you rode the over in the game in Sactown yesterday. From LA to Sactown, Bay Area and back down. Sacramento. We talked about the ballpark yesterday and the lack of foul ground. That went over in the fourth inning. And we'll look for those opportunities moving forward in Sacramento. So I hope everybody wrote that, cashed on that. And then there's, of course, the Dodgers, who come back from a 5-0 deficit. I got in on them at 5-2 yesterday at plus 222 money line, plus two minus 106. So I played both the money line and plus the runs at that point. They both cash because of the heroics, late heroics. Max Muncy with a two RBI shot to tie it up in the bottom of the eighth with two out on a 1-2 pitch. He goes into right center to tie it up. And then Shohei in the ninth. Shohei. Solo jam. Dodgers are 8-0. Padres are 7-0. The Giants are 5-1 in third place in their division. And then the entire AL Central is 2-4, by the way.
I'm kind of surprised, by the way. So the Dodgers, 8-0.
Yeah.
Topping the 1933 New York Yankees.
Yes.
For the longest winning streak to begin a season for a reigning champion.
For a reigning champion is the caveat.
What's the longest winning streak period to start a season? Do you have any idea?
Oh, that's a great question. I can tell you the longest losing was the Orioles, 0-21, I want to say, in 1988.
21?
Yes.
Cool.
The Cal Ripken senior-led Orioles, I believe, in 1988. So I just want to say this about, again, that we did the race to 10 and then March, April.
13 is the record to begin a season. 13 okay. Wins. 82 Braves, 87 Brewers in 2023 Rays.
I was going to guess a Brewers team went 13-0, but I didn't have the onions to say it. So three teams did it, 13-0.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, the Dodgers are 8-0. With the race to 10, remember the thinking on the race to 10 was those two games in March in Tokyo where the Dodgers and Cubs preceded the rest of baseball. The hope on the race to 10 was that the Dodgers split those with the Cubs. As soon as they went 2-0, it's like, okay, we're behind the eight ball. At that point, the race to 10 market becomes if the Dodgers just hold serve, there's nothing any other team can do. And guess what? The Dodgers have held serve for the next six. So even the Padres, who are 7-0, right? The Dodgers are 8-0. They're like, imagine if you had the Padres in the race to 10 right now. You'd be like, I cannot believe we're going to lose this. This is ridiculous. Even though, by the way, we're not anywhere close with the Mets.
I know we've talked a lot about the odds and quickly these big favorites getting out pretty far to start the season. Where's the buyback point with the Dodgers? Like, when does that happen? How big is this going to get?
Well, we had the video on it. We put the clip on Twitter also. We talked about this, which is, and I had related it to when they play the White Sox. Remember, this is before the season. I said, when they play the White Sox in July, is that going to be minus 700, right? Forget about July.
Yeah.
This month, they host the Rockies April 15th. Three game set at home.
Okay.
They host the Marlins three game set at home April 28th. That first game against the Rockies, let's say the Dodgers don't lose before then, or let's say they lose once, right? Because eventually,
Phillies,
this just in, eventually,
Nationals.
Eventually they'll lose, right? This just in. But what is that line likely to be? And we went through the historical, the biggest lines in modern baseball history. We did 2005 through 2022. And there was only one, there was 24 examples between the years 2005 and 2022 of individual baseball lines being north of minus 400. By the way, the favorites went 18-6 in those games. 18-6. And the highest was an Astros line when the Astros were super good in 2019, which was like minus 521, I believe it was. This was according to MGM odds. Minus 521. I don't think it's a stretch at all. By the way, only one of those 24 lines that was north of minus 400 between the years of 2005 and 2022, only one of those was pre-June. So one in April and May, and it was a Yankees game in April one of those years. But I would think that this Dodgers team, this Rockies line mid-month, that's easily minus 500. Seriously. Like, I really believe it will push minus 500.
I mean, what do you think? So they have series against the Phillies and the Nationals on the road, right? Two decent teams, two good, two quality teams, right?
Phillies for sure.
But okay, if they win every one of those games and they come back and they're the Cubs Friday night at home on April 11th, I'd be like, what's that line?
Well, that's why I keep pointing to the Rockies one, which is like, imagine that line. Imagine
the Rockies
that line.
Are up next.
And we don't have to wait that long. We have to wait 12 days for that. So we'll see. We'll see what that could be. Do we want to squeeze in one NFL season win total here, or is it not enough time? Probably not enough time, huh?
Yeah, probably not. Okay. Got any thoughts on Ovechkin?
Yeah, I think it's one of these great moments, by the way. Alex Ovechkin now 2 away from tying Wayne Gretzky, 3 away from breaking. By the way, there is a props at DraftKings. Alex Ovechkin to record his 895th career regular season goal in the regular season. The yes is -425.
Really glad I didn't get in on the no price on this. Remember, I brought that up like a week or two ago.
Well, I'm curious. We should have Jay Conn in at some point to ask him, is this hurting the Caps? Is the need to feed Ovi hurting them when it comes to, okay, they're going to the playoffs, a team with the exception of 1 year, a horrific postseason, history. It's just, I wonder if this has made them a little janky as a team. But as far as Ovechkin, I went to a Caps game their very first year, as I could barely even talk, right? And I went to a Caps game. So this team has lived for all these years. So this matters to me. I think it matters in sports. It certainly matters in hockey.
Yeah.
Gretzky's attending every game at this point. I will turn the channel. And I will absolutely be locked in for when he will do this.
It's massive for hockey. Massive.
This is one of sports' great records. So it's huge. Let's get Jake in, though, to find out about the effect on the Caps. NFL season win totals next.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN summer special is here. It might be the beginning of April, but it's the summer special from Augusta to the NFL draft, MLB, the NBA and NHL playoffs, and the Kentucky Derby. VSiN Pro has you covered all summer long for just $59. Sign up now. Get expert picks, including all our best bets for the Masters, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our Kentucky Derby betting guide and NFL betting guide when it drops this summer, setting you up for a winning football season. Every sport, every edge, one price. Get full VSiN Pro access from now through August 1st for just $59 at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We have big football news. The Cowboys have made a move for a quarterback. Oh, did I hype it up enough?
You did.
Okay.
The perfect amount.
Tell us what the deal is.
The Patriots have traded Joe Milton and a 7th-round pick to the Dallas Cowboys. The Patriots get a 5th-round pick in return.
Say that last part louder.
Patriots get a 5th-round pick in return.
Okay. The Cowboys have no sense of what a draft pick is valued at. Right? What was the 4th for Mingo? Right?
Yeah.
And now they're trading a 5th for Milton. By the way, I love Milton because I've always said this. Joe Milton throws a football longer than any human being I've ever seen throw a football. I have no idea if he knows where it's going, but he can throw it farther than any human being I've ever seen.
Do you remember the preseason hype from Patriots fans last summer? It was like, oh, could he push for the starting job?
I'm just saying, like, the Cowboys, they loved to trade for Trey Lance. Trey Lance, by the way, now plays for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, in case you're scoring at home. And now they're trading for Joe Milton, and it's like, you know, they traded a 5th. I get it. They got a 7th back, but what are you doing?
This is a genius move by the Patriots, actually, because this is, genius might be a strong word, but with Joe Milton, with how excited some Patriots fans were about him last year, just get him off the roster, right? Like, don't let any attention be taken away from Drake May and what he's going to build there. Like this, and you're getting a 5th-round pick. It's not like you're getting nothing in return.
Cowboys quarterback room: Dak, Will Greer, Joe Milton.
Also on the Dallas side, like, I wouldn't read anything into that. Like, I don't think Dak Prescott's, like, I think he's going to be fine. I'm not reading into this like they're worried about Dak returning from injury.
By the way, I just want to say this about the Max Muncy hit yesterday. Max Muncy tried a torpedo bat yesterday. He had a horrible slash line heading into the game. He was 095, 208, 143, batting average, on base, slugging. So he tries a torpedo bat. First 3 at-bats. First of all, he's committing 2 errors in the field, by the way. He tries a torpedo bat. He goes 0-for-3 with a strikeout. He comes up in the 8th, Dodgers down 2 on. He's like, forget this. I almost said it. Forget this torpedo bat. Give me the old school lumber. 2 RBI knock.
I don't understand how, Because I've heard guys talking about this, of how we could even, you know, we could see guys using multiple bat, you know, it along with other bats in a game. Like, that's wild to me. I would think these guys are such creatures of habit, you would not want to do that.
Well, if you're batting, if you had that slash line, you try anything.
Well, it's different, right, when you're trying it out and it goes that badly. It's like, all right, get rid of this thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for NFL season win totals. Here's our big intro.
Bum, 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 bum.
There we go. Okay, let's do these 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's our first glance. Full disclosure, we have not bet any of these yet. This
Correct.
Is just looking. Now, remember, we don't have sequencing either. The sequence of schedule has not come out. We just know who the opponents are. And remember, these are done. You play the other three teams in your division twice. That's 6 games. You play each team in another division in your conference on a rotating basis. That's 4 more games, so that's 10. You play a division in the opposite conference, all 4 of those teams once. That's 14 games. And then the other 3 are determined by the 2 divisions that you don't play in your conference. If you're a second place team, you play the second place teams in those 2 divisions, that's 16, and then a rando second place team in the second place example of a team in the opposite conference. Those are your 17 football games.
Boom.
Our 5th favorite NFL season win totals for me, Kelly. I can't even say it without laughing. Under on the Pittsburgh Steelers, under 8.5, -135. I know someone told me that Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season.
Whoa, 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 whoa. That can't possibly be true.
I know. It's crazy. And I know last year that I vociferously thought the Steelers would not get to 9 wins. Well, guess what? I don't think they will this year. If I give you 2-4 in their division, remember they got the Ravens, Bengals, and Browns in their division. I'll give you 2-4. I don't think you're splitting those games if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, no way. Okay, yeah, 2-4 sounds
but I'll,
right.
But I'll be more generous on the other home games, right? The other home games you got Buffalo, you got Green Bay, but you have Minnesota, Miami, Indianapolis, and Seattle. Let me be super generous. I'll give you 4-2 on those. Then you got to figure out a way to win 3 other road games to beat me between Detroit, the Chargers, Chicago, New England, and the Jets. So for me, everything has to go perfectly for the Steelers to get to 9. I will bet under 8.5, -135 on the Steelers.
I like it. Pittsburgh. Gil's going to do it again. I'm done. You've defeated me. I can't do it again. It is not on my list of 5, Gil. I will already peel back the curtain and reveal that. It is not on my list of 5. I will not be battling Mike Tomlin anymore this
year. You've done it for years.
I've done it for years, and I've gotten my ass kicked by him, and it is not happening again in 2025, no matter what they do this offseason. I will not have an under on the Steelers' season win total. So that is the biggest old tip of the cap I can give to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Raiders, yeah, under 6.5 at plus money. Give me that one. I think a lot of these I attacked, Gil, looking at just divisions mainly and how they're stacking up right now. Raiders, you could argue with me if they think it's a better team than what they had a year ago. Brock Bowers is absolutely amazing. You bring in Geno Smith. I think it's going to be a mistake you going out to draft Ashton Jeanty with how many holes are on this team still. But the biggest point of this, Gil, is the rest of the division's gotten better. Broncos are better. The Chargers are better. The Chiefs are still really good. I think they're going to struggle to get through this division. I think 7 wins is a lot to be asking of this Raiders team. So under 6.5 at plus money, give me that one.
And I'll just propel it forward by saying that's my 4th favorite season win total, the under on the Raiders as well. If I give you 1-5 in the division, based on everything Kelly was just saying, and then I'll be generous and I'll give you 3-3 in your other home games. That's Dallas, Jacksonville, the Giants, Tennessee, Cleveland, and Chicago. So I'll give you 3 of those. But then you still have to win 3 other road games to beat me between Philly, Washington, Houston, Indy, and New England. You get to 7, tip of the cap, under Raiders 6.5.
Yeah, and Giants again, number 4 for me. This is another more of a play of overall how I view the NFC East. Look, we really don't know what their quarterback situation is going to look like yet. The draft is going to shift this team a lot. But standing here today, this would be one of my favorite win totals on the under 5.5 for the Giants. And this is it's a lot of respect for the division. I don't expect the Cowboys to be absolutely terrible this year. I do think they're probably the 3rd best team in the NFC East. But when you're going up against Dallas, Washington, and Philadelphia, Giants very clearly still in last place in that division. So under 5.
Wow. Let me just say we match on that coming up as well. Let's go to our 3rd favorite NFL season win totals. I'm on the under train once again, this time with the aforementioned Cowboys. Sorry, Dave Ross, co-host of By the Books. Cowboys under 7.5. If I give you 2-4 in the division, remember you got Philly, Washington, and the Giants. So I give you 2-4. And let's say 2-3 against your other home. Your other home games are hard, man. Green Bay, Kansas City, the Chargers. Because remember, the NFC East plays the AFC West. So Green Bay, Kansas City, the Chargers, Minnesota, and Arizona. Let's say I give you Minnesota and Arizona. I'll be generous. So 2-4, 2-3. That means you got to win 4 of the rest of you are on the road. Denver, Detroit, and then it gets easier. Chicago, Vegas, Jets, Carolina. In other words, for me, again, you have to beat me with 8. Mm-hmm. Things have to go almost perfectly for the Cowboys to get to 8. Under 7.5, minus 125. Joe Milton ain't helping you.
Yeah, this is one. I'll be honest, I kind of circled the Cowboys to go look at an over, but you just ran through the schedule. Once I started going through the schedule, I'm like, I can't go get there on an over. So Texans are my number 3, over 9.5. I'm gonna count on a rebound year from the Texans a little bit. I mean, would they still finish with 10 wins last year? Yeah, 10-7 last year. Still went over this last year in a year that we all thought kind of went badly. I know Nick Whalen was on with us yesterday talking up the Jags and the AFC South a little bit. Sorry, Nick, I can't get there yet. Unless Anthony Richardson becomes the MVP, I think he might be. I think this division is still owned by Houston, goes through Houston. I think 9.5, I will look at the over there.
Guys, we're going to save the number ones for after the break, so don't reveal those. But our number twos, Kelly, I match with you under on the Giants. Under is under the Giants. So that's my 4th straight under. Eventually, I'll get to an over. But under on the Giants, this team's getting to 6 wins. Stop it. If I gave you 2-4 in the division, and remember, it's the Eagles, Commanders, and Cowboys, I'll give you 2-4. I'll be generous. Mm-hmm. Here's the rest of your home games. Green Bay, Kansas City, the Chargers, the Niners, and the Vikings. Let's say I give you one of those. So 2-4 division, 1-4 rest of home games. I think I'm being generous on all that. You still have to figure out a way to win 3 of your other road games. Denver, Detroit, New England, Raiders, Saints, Bears. Again, it's another one of these situations. You pretty much have to run perfect to get to 6. Giants under 5.5 minus 120.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. Obviously, it was on my list, too. I have a feeling this was Steve Fezzik's all under. I tailed him on last year. I think I'll be looking at the same one. Like, I'll go under 4 with this team. I think they could be that bad. For me, it's NFC West. Going back to where we first looked at NFC West odds, Gil, Rams. Rams over 9.5. It's just a play on how I view the division as a whole. I think the Rams are the best team in the division. I'll go over 9.5 right now with that team.
All right. Our number one season win totals, Kelly's mine. On the other side, plus Zach Cohen. And I promise I'll finally have an over. 4 unders for me to start things. An over. Who will it be next? Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You can get more NBA prop analysis like this at Unabated. Oh, like what? Including expert profitable player props projections for every game real time. NBA News regularly first to release breaking news that helps bettors find edges on markets, sit start projection scenarios to see how a player's status will impact the projections of their teammates, access to Unabated's expert team, including Justin Fan, through their Discord channels and regular interactive live streams. Go to unabated.com/vsin for subscription info. That's unabated.com/vsin. Seems like that promo starts mid-sentence.
Oh, yeah. Maybe your producer should check on that sort of thing. Yeah. Maybe. Justin doing great work on Money Moves on Tuesdays with those guys coming on
Justin
for regular
Fan.
Spot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Caught a good spot from him.
Did we ever have him on, or we couldn't get it squared away?
I believe we've had him on once or
twice. Yeah. We tried doing it regularly, but it didn't work out. By the way, Captain Jack, Rufus, all behind the unabated surge.
Tom Viola. How dare you leave out Tom.
My buddy Tom Viola.
Yeah. VSiN legend.
Gina Fiore working over there as well. We had tweets at Beating the Book. Kevin Ryan. Gil, you'd be remiss if you forgot to mention that Max Muncy, who started the season in a tremendous slump, switched the torpedo bat prior to last night's game. Yes, but as I told before, the game tying hit was without the torpedo bat. He discarded it. Los Vegas 514. Yo. So you're saying you have to take the dog just on principle with a minus 500 line? Colorado it is. Thanks. I did not say that. Jason Stark, glad to hear you smarten up on the Steelers, Kelly. You should follow his lead, Gil. Jason H11, yo. Call me crazy, but if the Steelers get Rodgers, isn't there a good shot people will bet their win total up this summer, getting us a better under number if we wait? Great point, Jason.
Yes.
The numbers guys, Joe Milton, He won a September Heisman back in his Ann Arbor days during COVID. Did you know the University of Michigan has more September Heismans than any school in history? I did not know that. And Larry Fresh, all these unders bets, Gil, the Undertaker, Alexander.
That's good stuff.
Want to do our number ones real quick before we
get
to Zach?
Let's do it, yeah.
Number one favorite season win total. It is an over for me, finally. Over on the Denver Broncos.
Ooh.
Yeah, over 9.5. Obviously, it's a tough division, but I really like what the Broncos have defensively. Bo Nix in year number two. Let's go 3-3 in the division. Let's go conservative. Let's say they split their division games, right? 3-3. 4-2, though, I give them remaining home games. Here are the remaining home games. Dallas, Jacksonville, the Giants, Tennessee, Cincinnati, and Green Bay. I'm going to give them 4-2. And then they only have to put together three more wins in the other road games. The other road games are the Jets, the Colts, Texans, Philly, and Washington. Going to be tough, but I think the Broncos are a 10-7 football team. It's my only over. I think I like it better than all the rest, too.
Like it. I'm going back to the NFC West. Talked about liking the Rams over. This is a little bit correlated. Seattle under 8.5 for me would be my favorite one on the board right now, Gil. This feels like we're in almost full rebuild mode with what's going on in Seattle. I think 8.5 is a line that is pretty dang high for a division where I don't see any bad teams. I think Arizona, I think San Francisco, well, San Francisco might have taken a step back. I think both those teams will still be decent, and I think the Rams are a pretty good football team. So under 8.5, Seattle, for me, Sam Darnold, prove it to me. You can do it without all the weapons you had in Minnesota.
By the way, I love all my five. I want to redo my rankings. I think I like the Giants under better than anything.
I probably do too. But like, yeah. That's another one, though. You know, all these teams, or a lot of these teams, with the Giants is another one where I wouldn't be shocked if it goes up a half win, no matter what they do in the draft, because people just get excited.
Again, we haven't bet these yet, but those are out. Zach Cohen now joins us, the first half of the Zach and Crack comedy duo here on Thursdays, here on A Numbers Game. He joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Betting on X is where you can follow him on Twitter. How you doing, Zach?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing very well, Zach. Congratulations. I know you had a Joker future in Miami, but you properly hedged with Mensik in the final. So mazel tov to you, sir.
Yep, I did. I thought you were bringing up Impractical Jokers again. I'm like, do not congratulate me for anything I've said about them in the last 2 weeks.
Okay, since you bring it up, I just want to say this, ladies and gentlemen. Never seize on Zach Cohen's favorite TV shows because some awful things will immediately happen.
Starts building them up, and then, geez, everybody goes down.
This man can curse a TV show like no other.
The greatest VEASAN curse I've ever seen.
This is amazing. Not a laughing matter, but in the case of Zach Cohen cursing it, it is a laughing matter. Okay. Any tennis on clay or fake clay this week from you?
Yeah, I have Stan Wawrinka today against Pedro Martinez, which is just more of a fade on Martinez, who's the second seeded player in that tournament and just has been terrible since the start of 2025. He's 7-9 since the start of the year, has not played well on clay, which is where he's supposed to play well. Wawrinka had a win yesterday where he struggled to kind of get to the finish line, but didn't end up winning. And I do think that's a match that he can win. So I grabbed it at plus money odds. I'm not even sure what it is now, but I think it's worth a play on him.
Stanislas Wawrinka. One of the greats, by the way. It gets lost because he was in the Federer, Nadal, Djokovic era, but still won himself three slams. The only guy to win multiple during that era. Okay, considering this era is no longer that with Sinner and Alcaraz. Let's go to the NBA. What do you like in the association tonight?
I had the Warriors tonight. It kind of contradicts something that I said with JVT last night, where I said I think I'd pick the Lakers over the Warriors in a first round series. But I do think Golden State, the way that they're playing right now, is a good bet against Los Angeles. The Warriors, you know, you break things down from March 1st and beyond, have been a top seven team in the NBA, top 10 in both offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency. The Lakers haven't been quite as good lately, trying to work LeBron back into the mix. That's a really dangerous team in Los Angeles. I think JJ Redick's going to be able to do a really good job in a playoff series where you're going to kind of be able to put his, you know, X's and O's acumen to the test. But I think Golden State's the right side tonight with the way the two teams are playing.
I am also on the Dubs tonight, catching two. This is a huge game tonight. I mean, for both teams, yep. But especially in the Warriors, right on that bubble, Gil, potentially falling back into the play-in tournament. Got to avoid massive game in LA. I'm on Golden State as
well. Potentially falling back into the play-in tournament, but also potentially moving up to 4 or 3.
Exactly. That's where all this stuff's at right now. Yep.
It's unbelievable. Right now, if the playoffs were to start right at this very moment, it would be the Warriors and the Nuggets. But that is a fluid situation for sure. Is that the only one in the NBA for you?
I think I'm going to take the Heat against the Grizzlies. It's a tough spot. Miami's coming off the second leg to back. Played the Celtics last night, did beat them. I do think this is still a spot, though, where Miami's won six in a row. Memphis is really struggling. You know, I just don't really trust this Grizzlies team right now. I think it's really hard to kind of adjust on the fly to a new coach. So I think the Heat getting the points and the Heat on the money line is worth the sprinkle.
I didn't bring this up yesterday, but did you see the Ja Morant thing again?
It's wild.
Miming gun, you know, gunplay again. I don't know if Buddy Hield started it or whatever, but like, what are you doing? How stupid are you?
I saw someone say to put him in a room and tell him to get it all out of his system for like 4 hours. So he'll never do it again.
Yeah. We're going to commercial against the Warriors, and Draymond immediately goes to the refs. He's like, you see that?
So the one, like the overhead broadcast shot, I guess, is the only one I've seen. Oh man. The more times you watch it though, it sure looks like Buddy Hield kind of got him into it.
You know what? So what if he did?
I know.
I believe my kindergarten teacher told me two wrongs do not make a right. Pretty sure that applies here. Okay, let's go to the final four. How many plays you have here? Have you jumped in both games?
I have a bigger play on the Houston game. I did take some Auburn plus 135 yesterday, but I really like Houston plus 5.5. Also played plus 222. That's my bigger one of the day and really the one that matters to me. I think that the Cougars are being a little bit underrated offensively. I think that when you kind of rank the players in this game in terms of the way that they're able to create offense, it's Flag, and then I think it's the three Houston guards. So I think that for as good as Houston is defensively and for as much as we want to label them a defensive-minded team, that's a team that if this is close late, I kind of trust them a little bit more to create offense. And I think that something else that's being overlooked a little bit is Houston has a guy named Joseph Tugler, who is this year's NBA draft prospect that is like an elite defensive wing that can't play a lick of offense, but he's going to play 25 minutes in this game. He's going to guard Cooper Flagg. It's going to be the best defender that Flagg has seen all season long. So the other guys on Duke are going to need to create. I think that Proctor can do it. I'm not sure the other guys can.
So the play is
Houston plus 5.5 and Houston plus 222.
Okay. And in the other game,
I took Auburn plus 135. Okay. I'm hoping Broom is healthy. I have doubts about that. I thought that when we watched him, you know, against Michigan State, that right arm was just dangling by the side. Once he came back into the game, you know, he's had a week to get it right. And he did knock down a three after that injury. But obviously, if he's not healthy, they're not going to be able to win that game. But took a shot on it just because there's SEC familiarity. I don't think much separates the two teams based on what we saw all season long. And I don't think Florida in the tournament has looked quite as good as the team that we saw in the regular season and in the SEC tournament.
All right, last 30 seconds, Zach, back to the NBA, because this is what we've been talking about, those of us who are making these bets off air. If the Thunder win their last six and they win 70 games, should Mark Daigneault be the coach of the year?
I actually wrote this in an NBA check-in I did a few days ago. I said that if they win 70 games, he should win coach of the year. It's kind of been Atkinson's all year, but I do think if they win 70 that he should get the nod. I did want to say that I keep a close eye on the 6 and 7 seeds in the Western Conference, because there are teams like the Timberwolves and Grizzlies that I think are very close to being the second best teams in the Western Conference. Oh, if they can avoid the OKC matchup, those are teams we're taking on the futures market.
Wow. Okay.
Grizzlies?
No, not Grizzlies. Just Clippers and Timberwolves.
Oh, okay. I misheard Clippers.
Who's your defensive player of the year?
I think it's Daniels or Zubats, but Zubats isn't getting any love, so it seems like a waste to even say it.
Okay. I think the correct answer is Dort. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Coming back with Tim Murray on the Final Four next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Put your skills to the test in the Hoops and Horses Pick'em Challenge, brought to you by our friends at FirstBet. Sign up for free to play at VSiN.com/hoopsandhorses and make your picks for Saturday's marquee horse races and basketball matchups. Top pickers will receive FirstBet vouchers that you can use to bet upcoming races on FirstBet, including the Kentucky Derby on Saturday, May the 3rd, just around the corner. From the hardwood to the home stretch, play now at VSiN.com/hoopsandhorses. Gil Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. We always appreciate the feedback. John Fitzgibbons on the Max Muncy two RBI double to tie it up yesterday. He says non-Dodger fan Jason Weingarten must have gotten to him. I'm not a Dodgers fan. Sure you're not, Jason. Doug Knutson Sports. Love to hear Crack's take on the Resort World situation. Illegal bookmaker, casino host, second largest fan of all time. Love to hear what happened in size. We really have to put commas in on the on some of these tweets.
yes, commas.
We'll get to Crack.
Breaking sentences about.
We'll get to that, Doug. John Balducci. The thing is, Ovi is playing his position and doing what he always does. Doesn't appear teammates are feeding him, which makes it crazy. He's still planted on the top of the circle like he's been for 20 years, and nobody can stop it. John, I've been saying that for years. How is it that he can just chill on that circle on the left, plant himself, and get lost? It's amazing. But I'd love to hear Jake Hahn's take on it as well. Zach Ballinger. Don't forget that Buddy Hield was on that Pacers team when Morant or one of his guys allegedly pointed a gun at the Pacers bus. Zach, are you suggesting that Buddy Hield is behind all of Ja Morant's problems?
I did forget about this, though, Zach. It is fair to point out.
Buddy Hield, the source of all of Ja's troubles.
As Gil is making fun of, yes, that is clearly not, it's not Buddy Hield's fault, but that is interesting.
This is prodding him to do terrible things. Ladies and gentlemen, he was the subject of an unprovoked attack by Jonathan Von Tobel on this very program yesterday. He comes to us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at @1TimMurray. It's Tim Murray, everybody. What do you have to say for yourself, Tim? What was that?
You know, I start getting tweets early in the morning, getting my day ready, getting my kid ready for school, and I'm getting viciously attacked by my so-called friend and Jonathan Von Tobel. And then, you know, we played the clip last night on VSiN Primetime. We did. And he's right. I am not hip. He's actually 1,000,000% accurate. So, you know what, JVT, sometimes you know the right about me. Now, I can't speak for Kelly and his lack there of hipness, but I am definitely not up to date on what is going on in modern day hipness. So
yeah, I should have probably prefaced it by saying the charge that JVT made was that Tim and you, Kelly, were quote mild sauce unquote.
Mild sauce, yeah. So what mild sauce thing are we going to do this weekend together, Tim? Go play badminton or something like that? Like what square hey man, boring thing are we doing?
Look, we got chicken and pickle in my hood. You know, we'll go down, chicken pickle it up. You know, have a couple cocktails and you know, probably get to bed by like 8:15.
Sounds like a plan.
Sounds, you know, I got nothing wrong with that. You know, we got busy days, busy lives.
Right,
you know, look, JVT. Let's be honest here. JVT, you know, he's like me. He's a dad. He's got two kids. I just have one. And, you know, he's trying to pretend like he's this cool, hip guy. But when in reality, he's closer to me than he is the younger kids out there. But he's trying to push it away, trying to deflect. This is just what he does. And it's OK. Come to the dark side of being lame. It's fine. Okay. It's fine, man. Right. Sit on your couch on a Sunday night after the games are all done. Watch an episode of White Lotus and go to bed. No big deal.
Hey, I think we've just about covered it. Let's go. By the way, nothing wrong with watching White Lotus. Big finale on Sunday. All right, final four.
It better be. Come on. I mean, jeez.
Worst season of the three, by far.
Building up. Can we do something in these episodes?
A lot of build. Yeah. Okay, final four on Saturday. I know you've got thoughts. Obviously, it's only the second time in history all four number ones have gotten there, 2008 being the other. Do we have this tweet from the KenPom last decade? These are four of the best six teams per KenPom from the last decade. And you see the only other two teams that are wedged in the middle, by the way, if you're not watching, 2025 Duke, this year's Duke team, the best team per KenPom of the last decade, Houston, the second best, Florida, the fifth best, Auburn, the sixth best. The only two teams wedged in between are last year's UConn Huskies champions, and then the 2021 Gonzaga squad of Suggs and I guess Nembhard was on that team. They had the two big men. Kispert was on that team. But they lost to Baylor in the finals.
First of all,
do you agree with that assessment? And then where do you go with the games?
Well, don't forget we had old Drew Timmy on that team.
Timmy as well. Right. He was the other big man.
His lovely Fu Manchu. Look, I'll even take it a step further back. KenPom's been around since 1997. And we've got four of the top 10 teams all time. So if you even take a step further back, based off of his data, we have four of the best teams that he's ever seen since 1997. Look, I think, you know, it's easy to say it now, but I think it has been proven that these four teams were a cut above the rest of the field. And most of us, I would say, out there who filled out your brackets. And if I could remember back to that Monday after Selection Sunday, you know, look, I had Texas Tech in the Final Four, but I had the three other ones, right? Some folks might have had St. John's, some folks might have had Tennessee. But I think the majority of people, at least at our network, had at least two, if not three, one seeds. I know Hoops had all four, because that's what this year has been. So I know there's been a lot of, you know, takes out there. Oh, we're missing the Cinderella. I'm not, like, you know, I could have gone for more upsets. I don't know about you, Gil. I got my teeth kicked in pretty solidly in the first round as dogs weren't biting. But at the end of the day, I don't really want to see VCU from 2011 or George Mason in 2006. Look, it was awesome that my mom's alma mater could make a run to the Final Four, Gil. Shout out to Fairfax, Virginia, but then they got absolutely curb stomped by Florida. I can make a realistic case that each one of these four teams is going to win the title, and I don't think we could have done that in recent years. So I think we've got a phenomenal Final Four. Hopefully it lives up to the statistical data that is out there, and I can't wait, man. I am fired up for this Final Four, and I think it's going to be tremendous.
Well, speak for yourself, Tim. I would be in second place if I could just remember a deadline in our bracket challenge, for God's sakes. Okay, what I didn't hear was a play in either game. Do you have a play in either game?
Yeah, so I'll start with the nightcap. Look, I think Duke-Houston, to me, is the more interesting game. You looked at that statistical data from KenPom, and you've got two of the best teams that he's ever had. And I think it's fascinating that we've got a point spread this high. Look, let's start with Duke. They're awesome. There's no ways to push it around. They're elite defensively, elite offensively, number one in offensive efficiency rating, top five in defensive efficiency rating. And, you know, this size could be an issue. And Duke could pull away. There's no doubt. I mean, it's one game, obviously. But to me, I'm going to take Houston, but I'm going to wait. I think we're going to get a lot of public support coming in on Friday, coming in on Saturday on the Blue Devils, whether it be just on the side, whether it be money line parlays. So, you know, we've seen a couple 5.5s out there. Do we get a 6? I don't know. But I think to be patient a little bit here, I love this Houston team. I had them coming out of their region. I think they are the most tested team. The fact that they had to play Gonzaga in the second round, they had to play Purdue in the Sweet 16 in Indianapolis, and now an opportunity to play in their home state in San Antonio. So, look, Houston has been an underdog, Gil, one time in the last 3 years, and that was earlier this year on the road at Fog Allen, where they're a 1-point dog, and now they're a 5.5-point dog. Just feels like it's a big, big number. So I do think there's a little bit of a correlation. I think Duke is willing to get down in the mud with their defensive prowess. But, you know, I think there is, if you do like Houston, maybe the under is also a look as well. So I'm going to be on Houston, but I just don't think there's a rush right now in that. And quickly, I know we're up against it. Florida-Auburn, I've kind of gone back and forth. But the one thing I'll note about this game is right now Florida 2.5-point favorite. And I thought Jim Root, who was on the show yesterday, made a good point on VSiN Primetime, where if you just go back to around February 8th, this is probably the proper number. But it is worth noting, these two teams played in early February. Elijah Martin didn't play for Florida, and the Gators still won that game 90-81 on the road. Do you know what the point spread was in that game? It was 11. Auburn was an 11-point favorite on February 8th, and now they're catching 2.5. Against Florida. So I think if we get more positivity coming out of War Eagle camp about Janae Broome's shoulder, I think I'll probably be on Auburn catching the points. But I do really like this Houston Cougars team, and let's see how high it can go so we can grab some old value on the Houston Cougars against Duke.
Give that Houston stat once again. How many times have they been a dog?
One time in the last 3 years they've been an underdog, and it was by this many points. One.
Has, of course, a lot to do with their conference, but point made nonetheless. Tim, appreciate it, man. Good luck with all the bets.
See you guys.
Tim Murray, VSiN host, of course. One Tim Murray. Crack next. Numbers game right here at VSiN.